all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities, who heal all thy diseases, who remedieth thy life from redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How great it is to be in the house of the Lord to celebrate him. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are grateful to you for your goodness, for seeking and saving the lost, for we are counted among those who had the greatest need for salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you decided, that you determined, because of your love, that you would stretch your hand of mercy and grace from heaven, that you would call us unto yourself, and that you made a pathway for salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. And as we prepare, as we even prepare now for a Thanksgiving week and a day of celebration of thanks, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be ever mindful and grateful to you for the salvation that is ours, for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the Word that guides our footsteps, and that we have brothers and sisters in Christ around us who love us, who care for us, who support us and pray for us. We thank you for all these amazing blessings that you have brought to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we approach this week, and I'll just remind you that we're going to have a little bit of testimony time after we go offline here to allow you opportunity to share a praise for God as we think about our Thanksgiving week here. But when I think of Thanksgiving, I found that there's a plethora of Thanksgiving Day activities that are worked into various people's schedule. For instance, some people, Thanksgiving Day is all about the food. They spend hours in the kitchen cooking turkey, ham, dressing, mashed potatoes, gravy. There's cranberry sauce. There's apple pie. There's pumpkin pie. Yeah, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And for others, Thanksgiving Day is about the Macy's Day Parade or maybe the football games that had been scheduled. This Thanksgiving, the Bears versus the Lions at 10:30, the Raiders versus Dallas at 2:30, and the Bills and the Saints at 6:20, and that's what they like to focus on at Thanksgiving. Still others look forward to the Thanksgiving holiday because it provides an extra long weekend of rest, a chance to unwind, a chance to relax, and maybe to go out and do that final hunt of the season. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he told me he has a sign on his freezer that says, wintering range for deer and elk. And so I'm sure there are those who are out there hoping that to be the case in their home as well. Then there is the group of people who see Thanksgiving Day as the starting line for the Christmas shopping season. It seems over the years, Black Friday shopping has encroached upon Thanksgiving Day, Thursday. So for some people, their Christmas shopping begins early. Then for many other people, Thanksgiving Day is a time of family. It's a time of family reunion, getting together with the clan, the feast, the games, the good conversation, as long as you stay away from politics, vaccines, and shutdowns. And then there are the history buffs, for whom Thanksgiving is the celebration of a historical moment in time. The founding of our country, the Pilgrims, Indians, and Plymouth Rock. The first original proclamation of Thanksgiving in America made by George Washington in 1789. And decades later, President Lincoln in 1863 establishing Thanksgiving as an official national holiday. And then in 1941, Franklin Roosevelt declaring the fourth Thursday of November as the permanent regular celebration of Thanksgiving. And then finally, for many of us who follow the Lord, Thanksgiving Day often includes an acknowledgement of God's blessing on the founding of our land as one nation under God. Now, I realize that statement that I just made, the founding of our land as one nation under God, is anathema to the woke community. And it's completely rejected by the atheistic naysayer. However, an honest look at Thanksgiving reinforces the truth that the American founders, along with the citizenry of that day, believed strongly in the Judeo-Christian ethic and most held strong ties to the Christian faith. For an example, consider the proclamation made by the first president of the United States, George Washington, when he was commissioned by Congress to set aside a day for our newly found country, a time for our country to give thanks to Almighty God. Thanksgiving Day, a time for the entire nation to acknowledge the providence of God in the birth of our nation. A day for this great country of the land of the free and the home of the brave to rightly acknowledge God's blessing on our nation. I'd like to read for you, for those who have lost perspective of our nation's Christian heritage, as well as I'd like to read to those of you who celebrate American freedom as a gift for God, what the first president of the United States, George Washington, had to say about our country, its founding, and its relationship with God. And I might say from this proclamation, it should appear as quite obvious to all of us that the fallacy of separation in church and state, the separation of God from state, is a lie. And it is not part of the Constitution of the United States, as some would like to make you think it is. It just is not. And to demonstrate that, here's a case in point. George Washington's proclamation on the back of your bulletin. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted to the people of these United States, to the service that great and glorious being, who is the benevolent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be, that we, the people of the United States, the citizens of this country, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and the manifold mercies and the favorable interposition or injection of His providence, which we experience in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of the tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the new one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and that the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge in general for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite and most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown favor to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, signed George Washington. Whole different perspective of American history than maybe what our children are learning in school today. This proclamation of George Washington ordered for the nation a national day of prayer and appreciation and thanksgiving to Almighty God. President Washington, with encouragement of the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives, the sum total of the political leaders of that time, also including signers of the Declaration of Independence, the desire for the nation to thank God for his blessing, for his divine protection, for his guidance in establishing and maintaining a more perfect union. This certainly stands against the false premises, the false theory propagated by the atheists that the founding fathers desired a separation of church and state. Nowhere in the U.S. Constitution is such a national mandate given. It is not in the Constitution, though many ungodly people practice and propagate such deception. Therefore, I venture to say, in today's culture, President Washington's proclamation doesn't likely sit well with the woke culture. And I would project this proclamation is likely rarely discussed for its merits and its meaning in our educational and political system today. Our nation is losing, if we haven't already lost, the roots on which we have been founded. However, I want to say that as I reviewed President Washington's proclamation, I couldn't help but think of the words which set the pace for our nation's acknowledgement of the foundation that we are built as one nation under God. And I have to believe that going through President Washington's mind, and this really is more a figment of my imagination than anything I can point to as fact, but knowing the degree of his spiritual demeanor as the first president of our country, Psalms 100 came to mind. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and we are not, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. I match up what President Washington said with what Psalms 100 teaches, and I say, I see some pretty good parallels there that have been applied by the first president of our country. In reviewing Psalms 100, we see that it was written as a song of thanksgiving to God. The essence of this Old Testament song was an invitation extended to all the people to come and join in the worship of the Lord for His goodness. This psalm is a summons to all people to call out, to name, to recognize and acknowledge the goodness of God on His people. This psalm begins, "Shout joyfully to the Lord." Wow. This is an exhortation, a command to God's people, everywhere, to proclaim vocally with joy the love they have for God and the blessings that He has brought to Him. Now, I don't think the passage is asking people to run around and scream their heads off about God and in some irrational way. That's not what the passage is teaching. Rather, I think the intent of the verse is a call of God for God's people, yea, all the people, to be passionate and excited and active in sharing the blessings that God has brought to their lives. You know, that really is what a personal testimony is all about, is simply sharing the things that God has done in your life, the goodness that He has brought, the love that He has given, the grace that He has bestowed, the mercy that He has given, the prayers that He has answered, the concern that He has for you and your family. That really is what a personal testimony is all about. And somehow we've allowed our culture to shut us down in our conversation about God. We have allowed our culture to push God into the church. And in too many ways, oftentimes, we have been compliant with what the world has asked of us. And we have been careful not to bring God out into the public forum. And I suggest to you that the mandate of Psalms 100 is a call to us to be vocal, to express where God has worked. Because how else will other people recognize the hand of God if we do not point out to them, there it is. Ah, did you see that? I saw that again. Oh, over there, God's working. Did you notice that? Did you see how God took care of that situation? You see, that's how people learn about God, as we point out to those who don't know what we do know about God's work in us, through us, in our culture, and around us. And so we are to say it. We are to proclaim it. And we're not to be bashful about what God is or who God is and what He means to us. We should be such a witness for our Lord. Worship and celebration of God should be part of our public life, not just our church life. It should permeate our heart in all places. Our gratefulness to God begins in our heart and it bubbles over from the inside out, manifesting itself as a spoken testimony of praise for the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that quiet or adoration of God is wrong. It does not at all mean that. There are times when our meditations on God are quiet and they're in solitude, as we sit in silence and we recognize the awe of God with this praise spilling out of our hearts. However, when the saints gather, there ought to be the public celebration and thankfulness given to the Lord. That's why I so much appreciate those that God had gifted with music to come and help us do exactly that. To sing praise to God, to celebrate Him, to acknowledge Him, and us corporately then to point to God and say, yeah, that was His fault that I was blessed this week. That is His fault that my prayer was answered this week. That it was His fault that something good and miraculous happened in my life. It's His fault. as we attribute to him the praise that he so rightly deserves in regard to our lives. Next, we see in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. God has given us the very breath that we breathe. And the eternity we own is because of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, the joy in our salvation should guide our footsteps to enter his service, not with a begrudging commitment, but with a gladness of heart, with the joy of being able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Service for the Lord is to scream out of us because our hearts are grateful and our hearts are thankful to God for every blessing that he has bestowed upon us. Now, this doesn't mean that life doesn't have its trouble and that there aren't trials that we face and difficulties that come our way. But do you realize that part of this whole thing about Jesus Christ being our Savior, he never leaves us or forsakes us. There isn't a single thing that we face on our own. There isn't any situation that we can't go to his word for counsel. And for those of us that are fortunate enough to be part of a body of Christ that people pray, that we can't go to our brothers and sisters in Christ and find support. For whatever it is that's ailing us, or whatever it is that we're dealing with, whether our heart be happy to have others rejoice with us, or our heart be sad that others cry with us during that time. What a great God we serve. And therefore, it is our honor to serve the Lord, the God of the universe, our Savior, our Lord. That's pretty special stuff. Pretty special stuff. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Now, I know some of us have difficulty singing because we don't read music, or staying on pitch is rather difficult, if not somewhat impossible. But I have been told in the past that people really like my solos. I have. They say, we really like it when you sing so low we can't hear you. However, I'm a firm believer that it is okay to be a joyful noisemaker before the Lord. He loves it. He loves it. Thankfully, singing joyful to the Lord, it's not a pitch issue. It is, what is the decimal level of your joy as you celebrate the Lord? It's not a pitch issue. It's the decimal of your joy as you celebrate the Lord. My spirit can celebrate God in song even if my voice is soft and on off key. And you know what? God smiles. God delights in the praises of his people. We should enjoy the opportunity to give worship to the Lord. Next, know that the Lord, he is God. This is simple, yet profound and an insightful statement. This statement, know that the Lord, he is God, is connected to the next phrase. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. This verse is the official divine certification that we are finite compared to his sovereignty. We, the created, are not greater than the Creator. It is amazing how such a simple truth can become so maligned by rebellious hearts. However, once you understand this truth, that God is indeed God, a spirit of gratitude will permeate your soul, and you will thank him for the salvation that he has offered you. To have anything less than gratitude and thanksgiving for our Creator and Savior is simply foolishness gone wild. Just foolishness gone wild. For it is the fool who has said in his heart that there is no God. Psalms 14:1 and Psalms 53:1. So today, as I close my mini sermon, my sermonette, and I don't know who was betting against me, but as we gather together this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I call on the church, God's people, to shout joyfully before the Lord, to serve Him with gladness, and to sing with joy. Why? Because we are the people of His pasture. How awesome is that? Not lost, but found. Not condemned, but blessed. Not without hope, but having great hope. Not helpless, but rescued. Not hopeless, but redeemed. In the New Testament, we celebrate Jesus, our Savior, as our Lord. The application point to it, verse 4, enter His gate with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. He is worthy. He is worthy of all our praise. So how has God been good to you? How has He manifested His loving kindness to you? Has God's faithfulness shown up in your life recently? Does God's faithfulness manifest itself in this generation, i.e. you? Let's close with Lamentations 3:22, which says this: through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed, because His compassion failed not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. And as we close the online portion of our message today, I'd just like to close in prayer. And then for those of us that are here, we're just going to invite you to have opportunity, if you would be so led, to speak something that is on your heart concerning God and His blessing in your life, that we might put into practice what we have studied here this morning as we come together to bless His holy name. Let's pray. Lord, we want to begin this time here just to say thank You. Lord, that there are so many ways that You, an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, has been able to work personally in all of our lives. It is impossible for our minds to fathom how You as God can pay attention to all of us at one time, but You do. How You can love us all at one time, but You do. That You can hear our prayers, people, different languages, different places throughout the world, and You understand all of them, and You are aware of all of them, and You answer all of them. Wow, You're amazing, God. And we want to thank You for being our God. And we ask, Lord, today that as the preaching part of the service comes to an end, that, Father, that You would be honored by the testimonies of Your people who return back to You to give honor and glory to Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you to those who joined us online and would now like to open the floor to those here today, testimony for the Lord.